petty all the time. I'm petty all the time.
Baby, welcome to the party.
Give me a P. Give me a E. Give me a T. T. Y. I'm petty all the time. Give me a P. Give me a E.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode with your favorite girls, Petty Party Podcast. It is your girl, Jewelry Aaliyah.
Hi y'all, it's your girl, Shell.
Hey everyone, it's just Nick checking in.
Hey y'all, it's your girl, Amakalette coming out the set. What's good, everybody?
Hey y'all, it's your girl, Crystal, aka Champagne Chris, aka Chris F. Baby, please say the baby. And we are back.
Hey guys, how are y'all doing?
I'm good.
I'm good.
How's your week?
I'm a little overwhelmed, yeah. You know, but I'm good.
Nice.
Overwhelmed by?
You know, it's so crazy. I feel like going on vacation is supposed to be like really relaxing, but it's stressful leading up to it. Like,
it's the Olympics.
In a few days. So it's like, it's literally like the Olympics right now. Yeah. Like appointment Olympics, trying to get everything together. Olympics.
You can stay here and I can go.
I mean, if you do all the legwork, you deserve. I promise. So it's a little stressful, but once the actual trip comes, it'll be worth it. So.
Yeah.
No, I feel you. Because I'm actually going on a trip with her, too. And, like, normally, everyone knows, I pack literally the day of. I do not plan my stuff. Yeah, I'm very chaotic. And this time around, like, I've given myself time to, like, lay things out, organize it. Okay, now this is going to go here and all that. So I'm going to have, like, a very, like, stress-free transit, and I'm excited.
I think planning up is crazy.
No, that's me. I'd be like that one.
I cannot do that.
That's me just throwing things in the suitcase.
Before, it's like I'm planning in my head, like mentally, like what I want to take. But it's definitely like that suitcase is definitely empty.
I
like
so mine. Really? So for me, my suitcase might be empty, but I have all my stuff folded out and like what I'm actually gonna bring.
No.
So like I usually have like even right now I already have like a pile of clothes like in my guest bedroom and like the stuff that I'm taking, like I already have those stuff like lined up. So it's just like the other small stuff that I have to really get together.
I think when I pack, like, I definitely don't, I'm not a day of. There's no possible
There's
way.
No
like,
way. Yeah.
I, something is in that suitcase. I'll never zip it up because in the morning, I'm always trying to, I might need this, so I add to it. But I do, like, majority of my stuff will be packed the night before. And in the morning, I'm adding, like, last minute things. Like, well, maybe I can add one more outfit in here. Yeah. But I can never do day of.
Yeah.
Every time I travel to the office, I am packing that
Okay, let me not say day of because, okay. Maybe night before. Because day of it sounded like you have a 6 a.m. flight and you're packing at 3 a.m.
No. That's
Paula's saying that's her.
Oh. That's every time I've gone to Nigeria, I've packed the day literally hours before leaving.
Bro,
I'm like,
leaving
I'm
out the
ready.
Country. I start
One
like.
Time I left my retainers.
Okay. Paula,
her
course.
Sister had to go get my stuff and bring it on her leg that she was leaving a few days later.
See, I definitely like lead up to it. Like, I pack my toiletry bag days in advance. My makeup brushes will be clean days in advance. So that stuff is like, I just matter put it in the suitcase. Right. To wait to add my clothes and stuff, but I use packing cubes, so I do stuff like underwear and night clothes together, workout clothes over here, actual clothes here. So I think that makes packing.
I am using packing
easier.
Cubes.
They take up
time.
A lot of space, though.
Yeah, they do. I'm using packing cubes this time, but also like what I forgot to add to like the story was that I actually currently don't have a passport.
Mm.
So
are you going to Atlanta to get one?
Wait, have you
Is
called
it expired?
Them?
Yeah,
you have an appointment.
So what had happened was. My passport expires the day I come back in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So they wouldn't let me use it because you told me we had to have that like 6 months and it was actually true. So I went to the passport office and they took my passport and I'm waiting for the new one to come in.
Yeah.
She said the latest it should be is Wednesday.
And when do you
Thursday.
Why you ain't do the emergency?
I did.
You need to call Monday in case
you
need to be on a flight.
You should have been calling
Atlanta.
Today,
They're supposed
tomorrow.
To get that to you like the next day.
Mm-mm.
Well, how early did you go?
I went on Tuesday. I went a week in advance. Like a week and a half.
Nikki, you pushing it. You do I mean, better, no, no. What you mean? You
had
to your flight
you
stop
to
in
wait,
Atlanta?
You had to wait
2 weeks.
You had to wait until your appointment, until your flight was 14 days out.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I'm just surprised. Mm. Why they say yours is going to take so long?
Mm. I did the same thing. That's what I'm doing today, actually. I'm going to go take my passport picture and then mail the stuff in.
Yeah.
Because I already knew the application. Because I was like,
you missed that.
I'm already kind of close.
Ask y'all a question.
I got my passport 2 days before I went to Nigeria.
Packing cubes. Like, I've had packing cubes. I've always used packing cubes. But, like, I watch a lot of TikToks. I love watching people pack their stuff with packing cubes. Mm-hmm. And I never understood that, like, packing cubes was supposed to eliminate space.
It doesn't eliminate space. It just makes it more organized.
Oh, because I'm always over. I don't ever have space.
So you know, they definitely got to roll it tight and put it in there.
Okay.
I think it makes, when I make it to my destination, easier because the way I have my packing cubes, okay, I know all my night clothes are here. Mm-hmm. What I want to wear today is over here. Like, it just makes when I'm somewhere.
I'm throwing every, like, y'all, okay.
Especially if you have a big suitcase.
Yeah, now I know. I need to start. There needs to be some type of strategy. I really just, y'all, I'm like chaotic.
If y'all have a good toiletries bag, please
send it to Amazon. I have a good one.
Yeah, send it my way. Because, like, I think that's the one thing I really don't have a good one of is, like, the where I can put my toiletries and, like, organize them really well. So I need that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know about the well, but I got some big ones that I can hold a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I invested in a hair bag one, too. Like, one you could just put all your...
All the foldable.
I just realized with traveling, I need... Everything has to have a place that it's going into.
Everything has to have a place.
I used to just throw things in my luggage.
I even bought, like, suitcase covers. I'm buying, like, everything where it's, like...
Has to have a place.
Mm-hmm. I'll say this.
Or it's not going in the suitcase.
I'm just glad, like, because the company that I buy, like, 99% of my face products are always gives me free stuff. So now, like, my big stuff.
Ooh,
no, I'm talking about face stuff.
Yeah.
PCA skin. So now it's like everything I use that I have in full size, I now have in travel size.
Oh, nice.
So it makes, like, packing easy because it's in a little clear thing. And then I can just throw my other soaps, like my body soap and stuff in there. And I'm like, that helps because trying to pack full size face wash and moisturizer.
I use a travel one.
I use travel ones.
But when you're going to be gone for a long time, those can only last so long.
And also, too, like, when you said they send you the clear stuff, like their own, like, you know, like, toiletry bags?
No, I bought a clear bag at, like, Target.
Yeah,
it's, like, small, but I have every travel size of, like, from my moisturizer, face wash, my face mask, my... Even a small little retinol. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow.
I was going to say, too, like, with traveling, too, if y'all don't want to buy it, a lot of these companies send y'all free toiletry bags. Y'all start using those, because that's what I used to. I don't really buy toiletry bags anymore.
That's funny. I just got one from Neiman Marcus. Like,
yeah, I got one from Fenty. And
I was like, are y'all throwing this in? Thank you, girl. But anyways, we're going to go ahead and jump into the motto. This one is titled, I'm Having Friend Problems. So she says, I'm considered one of the popular kids at my college, and I know a lot of people, but these three girls are my main group of friends. Two of the three I have known since elementary and the other since middle school. They're all such nice people, and I really enjoy spending time with them, but they're all way closer with each other than they are with me. I'm not often invited to parties, and they often push me out of things unintentionally. I don't want to give up on our friendship, but I also don't want to make it awkward by trying to force my way into the inner circle. I know it sounds like a minor problem, but because they've been my main source of friendship since childhood, it really brings me down that they all get along so well without me around. I feel really depressed, and especially since the problem only involves them, I feel like I have nobody to talk to. How can I get closer with them, and what should I do? Thanks for the help. Love, from Texas.
I'm sorry you're going through that, girl.
Yeah, that's sad.
Because honestly, it sucks. It does. Because I feel like I've been in that position, too. It's sometimes I don't even want to, like, be the bearer of bad news. Sometimes you have to let it phase out. You got to go kind of, like, maybe make your own new friends. Like, you know, put yourself out there now to kind of find your own, like, community of friends that, you know, you are rocking with, that you're close with. Not saying that y'all can't be close anymore, but your friendships are just, your dynamic of your friendship is just changing. And that could be a good or bad thing, but to me, and from your perspective, it sounds like it's a bad thing. So, sorry.
I think I feel like everyone kind of goes through that, especially in college. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, and then also, like, whenever there's, like, a big group of friends, people just tend to, like, two people might tend to, like, get along a little bit better. Not even just get along a little bit better, but, like, just, they just have a little bit more in common or whatever it case may be.
They're always around each other.
They're always around each other. They're always talking. So it seems like, you know, they're closer than they are to you, but they may not look at it like that. So I think it's important just to, like, talk to your friends for one, like, have that conversation with them and just be like, hey, you know, I'm noticing that I'm not really getting invites to certain things. Like, is there a certain reason why? You know, I just want to, you know, I think just if you communicate, that's the best way. And depending on how that answer goes, then you can take it for what it is. And then I think it's also important to branch out and make new friends.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the most important part, because at the end of the day, like, conversation needs to be had just for the simple fact, like, look, they're your friends. They should be made aware of the way that you feel and the way that they're treating you. But also, like, friendships cannot be forced. Like, if they're not inviting you to things, as harsh as it sounds, it's probably because, like, they don't want you there. Not so much they don't want you there, but they invited who they wanted to be there. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, that's not you. And so I think in this moment, it's a good time to, like Nikki said, branch out, make other friends. So you're not depending on this set friend group to, like, invite you to things, you know?
I think sometimes too, like when you're in your head about something, sometimes you unintentionally change your behavior. So like you could be coming off in a way where it, to them, they might think you don't want to be around. And in reality, you do. But I think it's important to like talk to them about it to see like, are you tripping or is what you feel like valid? Because I think sometimes get in your head, you'd be looking at things completely different when you already think it is something that it might not be. So,
but also like check in and see how you responded to past invites, because there have been people who like I'm close with and I invite them to hella shit and they never come. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm only invite you a certain amount of shit you say no to before. Exactly. I was not begging you to come out and hang out with me. So after a while, it's just like, oh, you never invite me stuff. It's just like, yeah, I don't. If you want to invite me somewhere, I'll go with you. But as far as me begging you to hang, because that's what it becomes. If I'm inviting you, some people want to invite, but they don't actually want to come. They just want to be included. It's like, I'm not the type of person.
And then also what I realized too is like, I know that sometimes whenever you're left out of something, it can seem like it was like a plot against you. What you don't realize, and I had to realize, it was like, sometimes things just move so fast. Mm-hmm. Like you might get like a last minute invite to something and you literally might just say it to like one person. And then that one person says it to one person. And it just kind of like a, you know, a telephone effect, but it might just, you know, it might not get to you. Right. So it's just sometimes don't also like think completely negative for the situation.
Personalize it.
Yeah.
Because I've been in that situation too, where I have a friend, like they are basically telling me like, oh, you're always out with certain people. You're never like reaching out to me. And it's like, I do reach out to you, but it's like sometimes it's like, this is going to sound terrible, but like sometimes it's like, for example, I'll take like this podcast. Sometimes it's easier to move as a collective with us because it's like we're always kind of together in a sense. Like we're always recording, we always have things going on. So like to me, to in my book, it's like, dang, like I know it's going to be easy to get these two, like four over here to come rather than like reaching out to individuals all the time to do stuff. And it's like, not every time, you know, sometimes it's like, this is
you can move silently.
Yeah,
like, it's okay. And not even in a bad way, but just like sometimes it doesn't have to be everyone.
But and that too. And I realize that too. And also you say, yeah, moving silently, but it's like, dang, like it's to the point, I'll be honest with you, like sometimes I don't even feel comfortable posting on social media because you don't want the and that's crepe. I know, yeah, but because it's like you don't want the conversation.
You don't want to escalate.
Why did I get invited?
It's like, dang, like it's not even like that. Like I'm not even trying not to like not include you. It's just it just made sense here. Like I don't know how to put that. I don't know how to put that in words and tell someone that it made sense here because they're going to take offense no matter what. Because it's like, to them, it's like, so I don't make sense.
Yeah. You know what I mean? But everybody can't be invited to everything. But that's why I think it's important to have a diverse set of friends, because if you only have one friend group, you're going to depend on that friend group for invites and things. So if you see that one friend group doing things without you, which in actuality, like they're allowed to form individual friendships within a friend group. And just because they haven't invited something, they don't have to invite everybody. But when you see that from the outside looking in, you're going to feel some kind of way because you don't have no one else to do that shit with. You know what I mean? And then a part of you may feel like you want to get back and start doing it too. But it's like, if you feel like you're not getting invites a lot, you just need to make more
friends. Then also too, like when you do get the opportunity to come around like new groups of people, form connections. So then you can too get these invites as well. Like I'll be honest with y'all, I'll use myself as an example. Like there have been people I just meet randomly and now like with that connection, like, hey, do you want to come here? And it's like, you form a connection. But some people just want to like, they want to use your friends as the connection. And it's like, no, as you get older, you have to be your own conductor. Like you can't be using other people to like, nah, it just doesn't work like that. As adults, it gets hard. Like,
but yeah,
we can have different interests.
I think overall, we can all agree that we think that you should have a conversation with your friends and then also make new friends, honestly. Like, simple. So, all right, we're going to go ahead and jump into the Petty Chronicle. And this is a Petty Chronicle of a friend. She came and told me this. So, hope you're okay with me telling it.
Not you asking while you're about to go ahead and say it.
Why don't you frame it as a way, like, don't say that.
You said a friend, so I'm already doing calculations.
So, okay, so I have a friend that recently, or not recently, she went to an event. And she went to an event, and it was just like a little, like, mixer thing. And she had already come with, like, one of her friends. So, you know, she's, like, mixing and mingling, but she's not going around the room saying hi to everybody, you know, type of thing. And so she had seen one girl and she was like, dang, this girl looks familiar, but I can't remember where I remember her from. But she never spoke to the girl. So the friend that she had came with, I guess had eventually met the girl, like when I guess they had went to the bathroom. And so they had spoke. And so whenever the other girl, not her friend, but the other girl was leaving, she said bye to the friend that she had brought with her. And my friend was like, oh, so maybe I met her through my friend, you know, because I'm like, she kept trying to like rack her brain, like how she remembered this girl. So fast forward to later on that night, she was hanging around one of her guy friends, and one of her guy friends was like, oh, one of my friends was at the same event that you were at. And he was like, and she was like, really? He was like, what girl? And he showed the girl's Instagram. It happened to be the girl.
Yeah, that's crazy coincidence.
It happened to be the right. girl that she had seen earlier. Mm-hmm. And she was like, wait, so how do we remember? How do we know her? He was like, oh, remember you had came with me to her birthday party. Like, this was like 2-3 years ago. And she was like, oh, okay, makes sense. So she had explained to the guy friend, she was like, oh, yeah, like, you know, I didn't speak to her, but I kept trying to, like, rack my brain about where I remembered her from. And the guy friend was like, oh, so was she probably talking about you then? And he was like, what are you talking about? So the girl got on her Instagram story and was like...
Became a Twitter thug.
Yeah, like, she was like... I shouldn't have to say this, because this is common fucking sense, but if you've met somebody before, you should speak to them whenever you see them. Don't act weird, bitch.
Damn, bitch.
T. Wow.
Then why didn't you speak?
Oh, and yeah.
So.
Oh, my God.
She must have gave her voice to Ursula that night.
That's crazy.
So my question is, who is pettier? Like, the girl for getting on her Instagram or the guy for showing...
I feel the guy real nigga. She's talking shit about you.
Yeah, he a real ass person. Yeah. And to be honest with you, he probably put two and together like, whoa, like, you know, I don't think he was trying to be malicious. So he's real for showing her that. Mm-hmm. But who's really petty and who really got some balls is the girl who posted that post. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. All that sub-tweet, sub-posting shit.
It's weird.
That's weird as fuck. Very weird. And one thing about me. If I catch it, I'm going to pull up and I'm going to whoop your ass. Like, I'm so serious. Like, so, I don't play those games. That's weird. Like, you didn't have that energy in front of me. Now on the computer, you're going to have it. No. Pull Addie now.
So do her and the girl follow each other?
No.
Weird.
No. Oh, so she was just aimlessly going off online.
Yeah. So that's the thing. And that's what my friend had even said. She was like, you know, it'd be so different. And like, if me and the girl followed each other, she was like, but we don't even follow each other. So the fact that you expected me to remember you automatically from like 2-3 years ago and I met you one time. She's like, if you remember me so bad because you were a fan, clearly, come up and speak to me.
Yeah.
And she's like, I would have openly had a conversation with you.
But then you went to a birthday party, you remember her?
No, she said she didn't remember.
Yeah, that's crazy. But like,
You said a what?
I'm not gonna lie.
Now you're adding context. No, that's crazy.
But I can't go to nobody's birthday party and I remember that.
That's why I said what type of party, because I've easily gone to somebody's birthday celebration. I didn't know the celebrant. I went with somebody. I said, hey, happy birthday.
You don't ever forget the celebrant.
I do.
I do. I'm not gonna lie. I've been invited to a house party for somebody's birthday. I was introduced to the birthday person. I said hi, and the rest of my night, I never saw that person again. If I was to see them out and I don't clearly remember, I would not remember them.
And that's beyond the point.
Or they could look familiar to me, but enough to be like, where do I know her?
Think about how many times you come to a party, you were having a conversation with someone, and you're like, oh, you're the celebrant. Didn't even know.
But I mean, no matter what, this doesn't change the narrative of what happened. Like, she was very petty and she was childish. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I hope like your friend like added her, like, say my name.
But what? Now that would have been petty.
No, that would have been petty for sure. No, but I also feel like it's one thing to be like petty and make subliminals, but then you're adding all these curse words in it. Like, what's the animosity for? You could be petty, but like, damn, why are you taking so far?
All the bitches was not happening. That's what I'm saying.
Like, that's where I feel like it's like, all right, now we have an issue here. And I don't like that. So now,
Yeah, sorry. Well,
if she ain't seen her in 2-3 years, you'll be fine. You won't see her again.
Yeah. Not only are you petty though, but even if I wasn't at that party, whatever, y'all saw each other and I just saw your story on Instagram, I would think that that was a petty post. I'm like, you're really upset that somebody didn't speak to you and they saw you.
And you made a whole post about it.
Bitch. Yeah. Damn. Like, why are you bothered?
And you know what? And what makes me think that even more, like, you were bold to do that is because you know she didn't follow you.
Yeah.
You know, like.
And that's even, oh my.
You know that the girl didn't follow you. And so that's the reason why you put that on your story. You just did not think that that was going to so happen and get back to her.
That even bothers me even more. Like, you're a P-U-S-S-Y. Like, you're doing it now because you feel like I would have never saw it. But you, and some odd reason, I feel like you knew I was going to see that. Like, oh gosh, see?
Yeah, I was really shocked. Very, very shocked.
You know, the poster girl.
Yeah. I'm glad that doesn't happen to me, because honestly.
Yeah, the guy friend wasn't petty as all.
No.
He did what needed to be done.
He was an honest Abe. And then
he should. He knew he was doing. He said, oh, yeah, remember that girl? He knew it. He was like, let me see this poster's about you. So you look like the type to not speak. That's crazy. But yeah, he wasn't petty. Or she wasn't petty at all.
Yeah. Can we stop the subtweet, sub, post, yeah. sub, everything, repost, sub, it. Stop doing it. Mm-hmm. Like,
I mean, there the celebrities, that's all they do at this point.
Yeah.
And which is weird.
Okay, so I want to ask a question before we go into the topic. What is something, given all that we've been through in life, what would be your first link question? Something petty that you would ask a guy the first time you link with him? Like, so for example, if you die today, what other bitch is going to be posting you? Like, them type of questions. First link with somebody. What that's would you ask
good,
them?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
I don't know.
What's
yours? You start, Jory.
Yeah.
That's one for sure. How many girls think they're their boyfriend? Like, I think these are questions that need to be asked. Like, and also too, it's unfortunate you have to ask people, are they married? Even though they do be married. Like, so I feel like you just have to ask these days. But definitely, if you die today, who's posting you? That's what I want to know.
Mm-hmm. If you die today, who's posting you? Damn. Yeah. I will.
Who's going to be crying? You know, when rappers die, multiple bitches come out. Girl, like, so let me know what I'm going to get into.
I need to be the only one mourning around here.
What am I going to ask a guy when I first link with him?
Oh, do you have any kids that you don't know about?
Wait, how would he know? Any possibles?
Any possibles?
You know?
Any possibles?
Have any kids? Are they all yours?
If I'm supposed to pick up us right now, is a bitch going to get mad? Right. Is there a bitch out here that would be upset about seeing that picture?
Yeah. Thank you.
Mine's going to be, are all your bills paid?
Like, oh, that's...
Because that's the real questions here. Mm. A lot of people are behind on their bills.
Or are you a high value? Do you consider yourself a high value man?
Oh, gosh.
Ugh. And if you say, yeah, I'm running out of here.
I definitely ask people that. Do you listen to Kevin Samuels and Angie Tate? Just tell me right now so I know.
You know what? There's certain things, like, I don't know if there's certain things that just tell you what type of person you're dealing with. Like, mm-hmm. even how, like, I feel like anytime a guy brings up the whole Tory Lanez situation, I should be like, all right.
I don't know. Gonna, well, I don't know.
Really?
You guys be talking about Tory Lanez.
I know one's brought up Tory Lanez to me at all.
I've definitely been in a situation where people be like, yeah, he didn't deserve. We're not going to broach this subject.
We're not. Mm-mm. And it'll be, it can be like an outburst.
Like, what's going on?
I'm not
going to
lie. It's giving day. Don't like. You don't care about protecting black women. That's how I feel when a man, with the evidence that was given, and for y'all to say that he shot somebody and doesn't deserve to be in jail, we're not entering that conversation.
We're not.
I'm not entering that conversation with you because it's giving you don't like black women to be protected. Sorry, that's my personal opinion.
So we ain't going to broach it. Reason as to why you feel like she may have deserved it. That's what I'm like.
I do feel you on that because I was watching a video and this guy, he was talking about something completely different. I forgot what he was listening to. He got through the whole thing. He had like a million views and he was okay, bye, free Tory. I was like, excuse me? How did you slip that into it? It had nothing to do with Tory Lanez. He just slipped that at the end of the video. Everybody was like, wait, what was that last part? Like, I'm confused. Like, how'd you slip that in there?
So how do you feel about a man, like, for example, like y'all are discussing like what happened, certain things that happened to like R. Kelly, Diddy, Trey Songz, and like, they're on the side of like you, but for all you know, people could be lying. Like that can't be true.
That's what I'm saying.
Wouldn't that be odd?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, don't you get a little like alarmed?
Things that
like
you talk about in conversations, and you just know like what type of dude they are. I just be like,
no.
I was actually talking to someone about that. I'm like, hey, kind of tread lightly in your response. It's just giving you support predators.
No, literally. I have had like I had to stop talking to someone like even as a friend because they were like, well, I think we were talking. Who were we talking about? We were talking about someone, but it was like a sexual assault case. Mm-hmm. And they were like, well, why did the girl put herself in that position? I said, you know what?
No.
We're too old to the point where I can't explain this
anymore. I'm not going to walk you through the actual logic of the situation.
I can't explain this anymore where it doesn't matter what position she put herself in. It doesn't mean she needs to be sexually assaulted. Bro. So,
not even just guys, girls, because that happened to me before where it's like a girl was talking about Tory Lanez. She was like, oh, there was no evidence. He didn't win the trial. And I just was looking at her like,
okay, why are people so mad at some people that are just not going with the masses? Like, I didn't see enough evidence to pick a side somewhere to know what's true and what's not.
So say but that versus free
I think
him,
a lot of
right.
people
say that.
That
she's versus, no, deserved. She said that there was not evidence. Bro, he lost.
I know, but a lot of people say that and people equate that to free Tory. It's like, no, I don't know. There wasn't enough evidence for me to be like, he shot her.
She straight up said it. So.
I mean, well, clearly the jury thought so.
Yeah.
All right, the setup.
I had a situation like in regards to, like, not necessarily the Tory thing, but like somebody brought up R. Kelly. Like, I was actually out one night and someone was just
outside, you're bringing up R. Kelly?
Well, it was like in the middle of the week, daytime vibes. Yeah, like,
people
just,
really be,
yeah,
what are really, we doing? Just play the music and don't talk about
really
like R. Kelly.
It came up, like, he asked me, like, my friend asked me, he was like, oh, he was planning like a birthday playlist or whatever, and he was like, I'm gonna make sure like I don't put R. Kelly on it because they're gonna be like a boat or whatever. And anyways, he was like, do you listen to R. Kelly? And I was like, I don't go out of my way to listen to R. Kelly. I said, R. Kelly doesn't even come up on my random playlist, like, because I have Tidal and it'll suggest like random music. I was like, but if I happen to be somewhere and the song comes on, I'm like, it just is what it is. I might sing a little tune. It is what it is. I'm not going out of my way to listen to it. I went to the bathroom. While I'm in the bathroom, they started playing R. Kelly. I was like, did I speak this into existence? Because what is happening here? But I feel like I don't got my listen to R. Kelly, but if I happen to hear it, I'm not turning it off. I'm sorry. I'm not going to lie.
They haven't stopped playing Step in the Name of Love since then.
I'm not turning it off. Like,
in the name of love.
Like, I don't know. I'm not going my way to seek it. Because again, they barely play him. So I feel like if I'm in a random situation where they do play him, I'm going to enjoy it for that little second.
I'm not even going to lie. I forgot where I was at. They started playing Been Around the World. I'm like, P. Diddy music? Are we...
I actually want to ask that because we're not for lining the pockets of people who are clearly predators and rapists and stuff like that, allegedly. But Diddy has like everybody's catalog.
Oh yeah.
So it's like
catalog.
Are we not supporting Diddy? Are we not supporting Bad Boy? Are we not supporting everybody ever signed in entirety?
I think it's
when
everyone.
I think I've been around the world. Diddy is not who comes to mind when I think about that song. Yeah, it's like Mace, right?
But it's like you hear him in that.
I mean, but I don't think
that's Mace thing.
For me,
never mind.
But for me, I don't think that we can fault the artists that have worked with him because of Diddy's.
What I'm saying is they don't get royalties off of that. You know how you're like, oh, I don't want to support this artist because I don't want him to get money off of this song. That's why people are not streaming it. But it's like Diddy is getting paid off of all these artists. They don't have royalties to their own music. Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, he still has to support
his life.
Yo, like, that's
I mean, Diddy's gonna need money to pay his lawyer fees.
Yeah.
Huh? Wait.
What's going on? You went left. Right. And so, back to like his hits, like Last Night with Keisha Cole, Last Train to Paris with Diddy, Dirty Money.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like,
Danity Kane?
Yeah, fire.
Like,
fire,
he has his hand in a lot of stuff. Like,
anything is. Sorry, I'll turn it off for one. That's what I really wouldn't know.
Listen, we in the car. We rise up.
I don't listen to Diddy enough to
not even just Diddy, any artist who's low-key been canceled, even when it comes to Tory. Like, I want to, like, people don't like to talk about it, but are you listening or are you not? Like, that's all I want to know.
It's not crazy. I deleted Tory from my whole playlist. From my album.
I don't know. But again, I'm not seeking him. I'm not going out my way. Music's still in my thing. If it happens to come on, it happens to come on. I'm with somebody else.
Tory doesn't have bangers. Like, they all have bangers, but it's like they were all in unfortunate situations. R. Kelly is a great writer. Like, P. Diddy has his
hands. Stop the cat.
I never had R. Kelly in my.
No, I didn't either.
I actually did. That hurt to the I'm not going to lie. Because TP1, TP2, I mean.
So what?
He had some bangers. It was unfortunate, man.
Let's pause real quick. So. My issue is, right, like, we are putting money in a lot of bad people's pockets. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, where do we draw the line at?
I mean, once you know.
I think it's personal.
Y'all said boycott Starbucks. Y'all are still drinking there.
Who said boycott Starbucks?
Please, keep quiet here, y'all. Everyone has talked about
which
the world
was,
has
which
said.
Which I was even going to touch base on that.
The world has said boycott Starbucks behind.
But anyone at this table.
It depends on where you stand on the Israel versus Palestine situation because they have funded like the Israel, I forgot the name of it, but they support
But
Israel.
I thought that maybe McDonald's is the one who bought back their franchise from that. Because they said McDonald's as well, but McDonald's actually bought that franchise back and then was giving out free food.
So. Yeah, but like, you are still supporting Chick-fil-A. You are still doing Chick-fil-A. All these things.
Homophobic
TikTok. Yeah, like, you are still supporting all these people, but then we draw the line at your playlist. That's crazy to me. I'm sorry. We need to draw the line everywhere.
I feel like it's more personal to me. Like, I don't like what Tory did to Megan, so I'm not going to go out of my way to listen to him. If it happens to come up, he's a great artist. I will listen, but that's a personal choice for me when it comes to Tory, when it comes to R. Kelly. I just don't fuck with y'all, but I like y'all's music. I'm not going to take that away from you as the artist. I will listen if it comes on randomly, but I'm not going to be like, oh, turn that off. Like, it's never that serious, but I'm not going to go seek it. That's just me. Personal preference.
I think you have your own personal control over, and I think it's really important about what you look at and what you put into your brain and like what you hear. So for me personally, like, I don't really get any pleasure. Like Tory, that's kind of whatever. But as far as like R. Kelly, I'm not going to listen to a predator. Like, that's just something that I'm not going to personally do. Like, he's affected a lot of people, and not just him, but at the end of the day, like, I can only speak for him because it's his music.
So for me, still listening to Trey Songz?
No. I listen to Trey Songz.
Yeah, I couldn't even tell you last time I listened to Trey Songz. Sure, right. He's definitely a predator. Too many people have come out. Yeah, allegedly, too many people have come out for it to be alive.
Even when I think I was out the other day, like a couple weeks ago, and they put on Trey Songz, and I was very shocked. I was like, whoa.
No, they've been playing Invented Sex a lot. And I don't know what's happening. When did this song come back into rotation? They've been playing that song.
It wasn't Invented. It was like that, I don't even know what that song is. But yeah, they played it, and I was just like, wow, they're really playing Trey Songz. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, but now to talk about the whole Israel thing, I will say, like, when it comes to Israel and Palestine conflict, where you stand on that, like, that really does, and I hate to say it, but I do judge you differently. Because I'm just like, it boggles my mind. I'm like, for everyone to understand the Ukraine occupation and the Ukraine and Russian conflict and all that stuff when it comes to that situation. But when it comes to Israel and Palestine, it's like, y'all don't understand. This is the exact same thing. But it's like, it's clear only white lives matter when it comes to y'all. Because even now that they did the whole missile strike and it happened to hit American people, now America's like, oh no, something needs to be done. Like, bitch, they've been killing children. Right. And children are getting operated on without anesthesia. They're bombing refugee camps and all this other stuff. And it's like, nobody gives a fuck until American lives are lost. I get it. But it's like, if I talk to you and you're just like, oh, they deserve that, or oh, God said this and da da da, it's like, you're a dumbass. Don't talk to me.
Or people that are like, I mean, what is that my concern? I'm like, chai. Like,
I think what I do think is just like very tone deaf.
Yeah.
Whenever people say that they don't have an opinion on something that's actually like affecting hundreds of thousands of people, probably millions at this point, if we really think about all the years of conflict. And then not only that, I think that really more my big issue is that the United States actually had the opportunity, I think it was like two or three times, to vote in the UN to do a ceasefire. And everyone voted to do a ceasefire, and the United States was the only one to vote.
The United States is the one funding their whole military occupation. So, of course they're not going
to
vote.
Yeah, so they're the ones who voted to not ceasefire. So I do think that it's weird to me that this is supposed to be a democracy, and it doesn't seem like a lot of the voices of people in this democracy are being heard, or like the actions that are being implemented reflect upon the population's opinions. But I do agree. Like, I have to judge people
definitely.
I think an easy answer is just like, you know what, I'm not educated enough on this subject to give an opinion. I can do my research and try and educate myself. I apologize like that. But just to like shout out something and have no idea what you're talking about to me is just like, you're just choosing a side based off what? Or even like sometimes not having an opinion, it's like, how after all these months can you still not have an opinion? Like, do you not care? Like, do you not watch TV? Like, what are you burying yourself in?
People don't care. People only care about Trump.
There are some people,
all people care about is Trump 2024.
There's just a lot of people that just lost touch. They're out of touch. And I don't know.
But some people genuinely don't watch the news. Like, they purposely, because a lot of people think the news is sad. So even with that stuff and it being posted, some people really do go out of their way to not engage with it, not read into it, because they don't want it. And I realize, like, can I be mad at somebody for wanting to keep their peace of mind when it comes to all news?
True, but I also feel like it's your responsibility to make sure you stay up to date on what's going on in the world that you're living in. And for you to, when someone tries to have like certain conversations with you, you're just like, I mean, what's my concern? Or, oh, I don't really know. So why don't you know?
If you're up to date on the Tory Lanez side, you need to be up to date on what's happening in world affairs.
And if you're up to date on like all the other, like, you know, top 40 shit that's going on, music, you can take time to learn what's going on in other countries and all that. I think, just don't get it.
I think for me, where I can't fault someone is if you don't have the opportunity to learn. But if you have the resources to learn,
right,
and you're choosing to not learn and you're choosing to not hear anything, it's just kind of like, it's no better than you just like picking a side. You know what I'm saying? It's weird.
Yeah.
And it's not like you have to come out like and be on your pedestal or platform. Like, some people who I think when people are like bullying influencers, speaking all the other stuff, it's like, I don't think you need to dedicate your platform to this cause. Like, there's causes that you can be for and causes you can be against. But I do think, like, as a person in human society, you do owe yourself a favor to be, you know, just abreast of what's going on in the world. Like, it's very irresponsible as a human to like not know what's going on.
Right.
If you can stay abreast of current events and pop culture, why not world affairs? Things that are happening overseas can just as easily happen over here. So just plug in, mm-hmm. even if it's just like something that's, I feel like, that popular and that talked about. Like, you can't go anywhere without knowing that Israel and Palestine are at war. Like, people are right. dying. Like, there's a whole genocide going on. So if a genocide can happen and you choose to ignore that and you choose to not plug in and know what's going on, then I feel like you're doing yourself a big disservice, because, like, where is the humanity? Like, you should want to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just me, though.
I agree.
That's just me.
Preach, sister.
But, sorry, guys. We're going to go ahead and get into the topic. And, you know, honestly, this is probably, I feel like this is a topic we should have, like, earlier in the year. But, you know, these ladies, like, on this at the table, like, we've actually been through a lot, you know. And I've seen the growth in every single one of y'all. Like, even, I'm sure that y'all have seen it even from, like, watching, like, episode one, like, stop being friendly to the fuckboys, to now, screaming. Like, all of our perspectives have changed so much. I'm sure y'all probably like, you're contradicting to yourself. This is episode one, y'all will not be talking like this. And yeah. true, because no, yeah, we've grown.
What?
Right.
There's a lot of, we've talked about a lot of things. Stuff that done switched up over the years.
We've grown, you know what I mean? So I want to ask, because as a generation, as a person, like, we are all healing. We're all in different healing stages. So if you would have to say, like, as far as, like, your healing journey or your self-discovery journey, I would say, where are you? Or each individually?
How did
you start?
I mean, for me, I'm not healed completely, but I'm healing. And I think that I'm closer to being healed than I'm, like, further away from it, you know? But I think that just with every day, like, every action that I take, that I'm getting, like, a lot closer to, like, where I want to be as far as, like, my emotional awareness, my spiritual awareness, just, like, things that I've gone through in my past. All those things. So, yeah. But I'm in a good place, honestly.
I agree with Nikki.
I guess I'll speak next. I feel like, honestly, like, I'm in a very, like, I don't even know where to describe where I'm at, but I know that, like, I feel like I'm, like, in one of, like, the stories that I've imagined in my head, like, years ago, and I'm actually living it out. Like, I am so, like, it's okay. I'm so happy. I am so thankful. Like, I love life so much. Like, I don't really try to sweat the small things like I used to. Like, I thank God for growth. I thank God for allowing me to get out of a dark, dark place. I thank God to allow me to be able to, like, advise people are going through something I just came out of. Like, I thank God for all those things, because honestly, like, I'm extremely happy. Like, I'm not healed, but I feel like I'm, like, I'm
healing.
I'm healing, but then at the same time, I feel like I'm healed too, because it's like, yeah. I just feel
but
like
healing is linear.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you're right. Like, yeah, it's in a never ending mm-hmm. process. But yeah, like, I just, yeah, I'm excited. I'm just happy, and I'm, like, full of life. I'm ready, you know, to see what's crazy. Next.
I feel like at the top of the year, we had this, like, okay, like, what do you feel like your era was, right? And I said, I think I said this is my winning era. But you know what? Like, I feel like it wasn't just, like, a me thing. Like, I feel it for everybody. Yeah. Like, I feel like this is everybody's, like, okay, right. like, things are finna happen. We finna, like, things are finna change. A shift is gonna come, and we're all gonna, like, progress.
Right.
Like, I just feel it. It's like, and it's, and I feel like, again, not only is it, amen, not only is it people at this table, but it's just, like, the people that you're surrounding yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, damn, like, I feel like some things really finna happen. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah. Right.
Yes, love yeah. this for
I'm
us.
I'm excited. Mm-hmm. So
I definitely think that, it's really easy to forget about all the progress you've made mm-hmm. in yourself whenever something bad happens, you know, because you feel like it sets you back. But whenever I, like, look at each individual person on this table and even people around me, I'm like, dang, like, y'all are doing the damn thing. And you don't realize it, because sometimes it's hard to, like, you know, self-reflect and see that for yourself. But everyone's doing great.
No, yeah. And probably you mentioned happiness or whatever. So I do want to ask, because I feel like that's another thing that sometimes in your healing journey can kind of throw you off, is, like, the idea of happiness. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people can, like, attribute happiness to, like, a place or a goal, or once I do this, then I'll finally be happier. Or, and then you get there and it's like, damn, I don't feel happy. So, like, what would you describe happiness as far as, I think happiness is, like, a place of, like, outside of, like, it's not attached to material things, it's not attached to goals or accomplishments, or do you think that you have to accomplish things and do things in life in order to, like, see real happiness?
I think for me, I definitely was somebody where, like, when I get here, I'm going to be happy. And then I would get there and I'm like, okay, what's next? And I never really felt like I got to enjoy that happiness, or I mm-hmm. felt like I was always chasing happiness. And I'm like, bro, I'm tired of coming back to this point and not feeling happy with all these things that I've accomplished. Like, why am I not more happier? And then I realized, like, there's nothing I can buy that's going to make me happy. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to have that real bad. Like, I'm having a bad day. Or, oh, if I can get this, like, I'm going to be good. And it's like, no material thing can change that. No goal that I now can accomplish can give me that. Like, it's literally genuine happiness for myself and my life and everything that I have going on and appreciating everything in my life instead of attaching it to a goal. And I felt like that probably was the biggest transformation that I ever had, that I felt like life really changed for me, because it's like I went from being happy because of accomplishments and certain things to really just enjoying life for what it was. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think it's outside of goals.
Yeah, I definitely think it's not attached to anything that's tangible.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I think of happiness, I think of like being, the best word I can think of right now is like being like awakened. And I think that when your eyes are just opened and you actually see the world for what it is, and you, I don't know how to really describe it very well, but for me, it's about being awakened and like just really being like in tune with myself and every aspect of myself. That's where I think happiness really comes from.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
Agreed.
No, like,
no, because being self-aware is like real, like what you're talking about. Like when you, like when you don't take shit personal anymore, right. Like when you just be like, bro, like I'm just so happy with life that this little issue, I don't give a fuck. Like I just don't have the capacity to care, to give a fuck about this, because life is too good. And I think that is a real thing that comes with like genuinely being happy, because it's like nothing around you can change that.
Right. It's like, so crazy, because like whenever I was like in my 20s, I have met people and they're like, you know, I'm just like genuinely happy. Like you, it's like radiated. And now I see like, dang, they actually are like genuine, like internally and eternally, like they're happy. There's nothing that can really like break that happiness. Like now there's going to be moments where, you know, you're going to have other emotions, but in general, like that person's happy.
Well, what's actually happy when you actually think about it?
You said what?
What is, because I feel like, has there ever been a moment, I think I had a conversation with someone, this is like a long time ago, whatever, where like, and this is just me, I was talking to somebody and they were just like, yeah, I'm so happy. And I was like, what does that feel like? Like, I guess in that moment, I guess I could say in that moment, I was unhappy or whatever, but it didn't feel like, I wasn't sad. I wasn't like depressed or anything like that. I just wasn't happy. And I was trying to have a conversation with them and they were just like, why would you look happy? Seeing this and that, da, da, da. I was like, yeah, but I feel like happy means like you're like, wake up and you're excited. Listen, I don't feel that. I just feel like I just be living life and I just be chilling or whatever. Mm-hmm. But nothing bad's happening. It's just where I'm at right now. And so they just could not understand it. In my head, I was just like, or do I think happiness means something different than how somebody else like defines it?
I mean, for me, I think happiness is whenever I can see in that moment that at one point I was praying to be here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I was praying to God to like get me to this point, and now I'm at this point. That's when I achieved happiness, because I'm like so thankful that I was even able to get here, because I didn't have to.
Right.
You know, so that's where I think like that's where I think happiness is.
Yeah. But it's also important to, when you get there, is to actually acknowledge it. Because I
Yeah, you have to.
There's been so many moments where I think that I've prayed for something, got there, and then it's like, my mind instantly is like, next thing.
Yeah. And I think that that's why I relate with Jory whenever she was saying, like, you know, she would accomplish one thing and then she'd be looking to go to the next thing. And I felt like that's where I was looking for happiness, was like, it was kind of like a checklist, like a goal. It's like, so let me check this goal off, let me check this off. And that's where I thought I was getting happiness from. And it's like, no, like I'm happy like I need to like praise in this moment. That's where you get your happiness.
Yes, being
definitely.
Because I'm definitely a person who gets caught up in like trying to make things better, always, you know, just constantly chasing like what's new or what's better for me or what I should do, and like not even being present in that moment. And I think like when I stop trying to like, okay, well, how does this look for the future? How does it, which obviously still keeping things in mind, but like just, I think things became better because I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm actually in the moment and I'm having a good time. So
yeah. And also too with that, like with me, I'm not going to lie. Like I used to like, when I was like in the place I was previously or way back, because it's far away from me, but I used to look at like problems and really hone in like, oh my God, this, that, and the third. And now it's crazy. Like I'm happy for problems. I don't know. It just makes me know like I'm a real person. Like God is really working on me. He's really testing me, and like I'm learning. And I know that certain tests I've seen certain tests I've already gone through. I'm like, dang, like I feel like God's like kind of trying to like test me right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make sure I go the right. I'm going to make sure I go through the green door instead of the red door. And so I don't know. I just feel like happiness to me is just like being able to like look at what I've been through and like still be cool and happy in it. Like, even if things are not going my way, still seeing the good in it. Like, I even when I advise people that are going through something, I'm like, but still, like, it could be so much worse. Like, look at it like this, like, mindset. I'm even so happy for my new way of life and how I look at stuff. Because honestly, old me would have looked at things and like saw the negative. And now when I look at stuff, I automatically look at the positive things. Like, okay, you know what? This is going on because X, Y, and Z, not because someone's out to get me. No, because of X, Y, and Z. What is the world trying to show me? Yeah. What do I need to work on? Mm-hmm. Look at it like that. So,
yeah, I was going to say, I definitely agree. And I guess for me, what I realized, like when I'm at my unhappiest, I will say, I think is what I realized that I'm the furthest away from God. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times I realize like when I'm feeling like super distant from God or whatever, and not just because of me, maybe I'm not praying as often, not reading as often, like just not being as attentive to my religion as I can be. Like I start placing my happiness in different things. Mm-hmm. Like I place my happiness in like and relationships. Worldly things, and, like, very worldly things. And like you have to say when you place, what, at least for me, when I place my happiness in things of the world, like it's very temporary. Like it'll never please you fully because you place your happiness in a relationship. That relationship, and because you're placing, God knows, because you're putting your, placing your happiness in that relationship is not going to pan out.
Right.
And then you're going to feel stuck again. And then you're going to find something, okay, let me put my happiness in like being fitness and being fit. And then the one day you skip out on a gym day, it's like you start again, it's like you're back in that cycle of just like, dang, I just feel like empty, this and this. And then once I realized like when I feel that emptiness that I feel inside with like God and like that spirituality, it's like I automatically just get refilled or whatever. So I feel like for me, it's like I've realized like a lot of times when I have been like super unhappy, it's just like it's a void I'm feeling. It's like I'm trying to fill it with other things when I know why I need to be feeling weird.
And the other way of like happiness, like have y'all ever felt like weird prioritizing your happiness over like others, people's wants and needs, especially like family? Mm-hmm. Have y'all ever felt like regret, like, dang, normally I would like, drop everything and run, but now I'm like, I'm choosing me. Like, I need to make sure I am worried about my mental health and like my spirit and everything before I start helping others. Like, are y'all struggling with that right now or how are y'all handling
that? I don't think I'm struggling, but I do think a big part of me used to feel guilty because it's like, obviously, especially when it comes to like family, you know what I mean? Like, and I don't know. I just feel like when I would choose like them over me, I never left feeling good. And it's just damn, like, I cannot keep doing this. Like, I'm not gonna, like, you know, it just doesn't feel good. And like, why would I keep putting myself in that predicament? So I feel like sometimes I do feel guilty because this is like, dang, especially with parents, like they're getting older and you want to do everything to kind of like make sure that you're present and make sure you can do whatever you can. But like, sometimes it just does not work, you know? And like, I do think it's important to prioritize like yourself in certain moments. Obviously you can help, but like, I think that, you know, just making sure that you're putting yourself first and always, you gonna come first because if it's not, like, if you go, then what? You know what I'm saying? Right. So it's like, I don't know. Like, I think that guilt sometimes you just gotta let that.
And what actually helped me with that whole family guilt or the guilt the family puts on you for not being able to do certain things is when I was younger, I used to actually feel guilty. You know, sometimes your parents will play into that. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm older and I've like learned a lot about myself and just about how like as human beings we interact, I realized that our parents are cognizant of the way that we feel when they say certain things. And I realized that sometimes they weaponize that guilt that we feel to make us do things. So certain times it's like they'll say certain things and it's just like, you know that I feel guilty and you're trying to use this guilt as leverage to make me do what you want to do. And now that I know that that's a tactic, now I don't even feel guilty anymore because instead of us having a conversation, you communicating, us getting to a point where to let you know, like, okay, let me do things that I can be happy and we can both be happy. It's like you're trying to guilt me to doing things according to the way you want it done. So now I was like, once you free yourself from that guilt, you know that, like, especially our culture, Nigerian culture, Black culture, like the older generation, they do that intentionally. That's how they do it. It's like they guilt trip you. They'll be like, "Oh my gosh, if I die tomorrow, like you'll be dead." And you're like, "Oh my god, like bro, what the fuck are you talking about?" Like, I'll do it fine. Or they'll be like, "Oh my gosh, nobody cares about me." Wow, it's just like,
and it's so crazy because
I won't
that
do
that.
Your dry clean. Pick up your dry cleaning.
It's so crazy that you say that because me, I'm an only girl and I have two older brothers. So y'all can already imagine like the dynamic. Everything, like, it's me, I'm the last born only girl. So I'm looked at as like the first daughter, like the oldest. And so all my friends at this table know, like, I literally like run, like anything that needs to be done, I'm doing it. Always doing this. But I'm not going to lie. When I started going to therapy and actually unpacking all that, I had to start establishing clear, concise boundaries. And the moment I felt like my cup was kind of running over, I would have to retract a little bit. And I would even have to be vocal. See, I think also too, being able to learn how to communicate that you're feeling overwhelmed and that you are not able to do what that they're asking of you. And it's not because it's anything against them. It's because right now you have to look out for yourself. And you are the most important person right now. Because if I'm not 100%, that means I can't be 150 for you. So I look at it like that. But it's just, it's unfortunate because our parents are always going to be our parents.
Yeah.
But I would just tell people, like, you just got to work on, like, setting boundaries and really honoring them and sticking to them. The moment you let people cross your boundaries, that means you do not care about yourself. Mm. You cannot let people cross your boundaries. Mm-hmm. And it, a lot of people look at boundaries with your parents and family as disrespect. No, that's you respecting yourself and them. Look at it like that. So you can avoid problems.
I think for me, I definitely have a different perspective than y'all whenever it comes to that. And don't get me wrong, because I don't have it figured out. And so for me, I do try my best. Like, if it's within, like, my grasp and I'm able to do it, then I just go ahead and do it. You know, because, and I only say that because I have seen how temporary life is. And so for me, like I said, like, if I can do it, if it's within my means and it's within sanity's reason, then for me, I just do it. And sometimes it is at the fault of myself, you know, maybe the fault of sleep or the fault of time or the fault of whatever. But, of course it's not going to be anything that's like going to emotionally like tear me down, but if it's other things, like, I do try to just do them.
So knowing that, I guess in a situation you said that you're always going to just try to do it, how do you handle those moments where you can't, and are they respectful of the fact that you can't, since in their head they're thinking, okay, she's always going to do it if I ask?
To be honest with you, I don't know if there's really moments where I haven't been able to do it.
Yeah.
Like, it might not be on their time, but it usually gets done.
See?
Okay.
And so that's the thing, is like, I feel like I'm a pretty dependable person whenever it does come to those things, because I am able to get those things done. Like I said, like, it's not, it may not always be on their time, but it's going to get done. So.
Yeah, sometimes I have to give my parents pushback because it's like, sometimes you got to let people know the pushback is because you're choosing to operate in chaos, and I'm not going to do that. Like, yeah, honestly,
I agree.
I'm not going to do that. Like, this, you want this together in how many seconds, how many days? Yeah. Like, actually, we're not. If you want me to do this correctly, we can do it how I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? And we can meet each other in the middle. But like, no, like, sometimes you got to give pushback because it's like, you need to be realistic about what you're asking here. Like, I'm a human being.
Yeah. Your parents know something about something with 3 weeks, and they'll hit you up on the deadline.
Like, I'm like, what?
Can you help me with this thing is due tonight, huh?
And you say no, and they want to get mad at you. And it's like,
anytime I ask you to do something, you're never available. What?
It's like their last 10 times. You don't remember? Like, what's actually
happening? Parents are funny, but y'all, we're going to be there one day, and we're going to say the exact same things.
I will say, though, like, I feel like I used to be, well, I'm still dependable, but I think people's thought of that and the pressure of always showing up for people, I got burnt out. Like, I'm so quick to say no. And it's like, things that I would normally genuinely just love to help other people with, like, I've turned into a person where it's like, I hate the idea of someone expecting me to do something because of the pressure that was on me before.
Right.
And I hate it because it's just like, sometimes it's something so little and they're just like, why? And I'm like, because I did this 20 million times for somebody else. Like, you know what I mean? Without appreciation. And it's just like, I've been trying to be very aware of it because it's unfair to that person that got so burnt out and I'd be able to say no years before, and now I can't do it now. So I do think, like, there's a positive and a negative to it.
I think you said a very, like, good word there, appreciation. I feel like a lot of people, they don't show appreciation for your efforts. And after some time, someone that's always constantly doing, someone's always constantly making themselves available, someone's always constantly going the extra mile, once they feel like they're not appreciated, that's it. And I feel like once someone doesn't feel appreciated, that is when they start to pull back.
But even if you leave that situation, like, I left just feeling like, I don't want to do shit for nobody.
Yeah.
Because I don't ever want to feel that unappreciation this, you know, again. So it's a negative thing because then you carry it with you somewhere else and it's just like, damn, that really was only reserved for that person. You know what I mean?
It should always be like a person thing. It shouldn't be like, now the whole world must feel
my wrath. I think it's important to hold people accountable for their actions and not hold everybody accountable for one person's actions, you know? Because I do agree with you. Like, it does get difficult whenever you don't say no to people, and then it's like one person will come and ask me a thing, and it's like, I'm annoyed. Like, I'm really annoyed. But I'm like, I have to step back and, like, really think about it. I'm like, you know what? This person actually doesn't ask me for anything ever. Yeah. Let me just try to do this.
But also, too, like, I also, like, don't want people that are listening to, like, think that being a people pleaser is cool. Because sometimes being a people pleaser can be detrimental to someone.
I think there's cons, and I think there's negatives and positives in anything you do.
Right.
And I think that it has to work for that person. You know, right. Like I said, that's the reason why I said, like, I have a different opinion than y'all, because I wish I could have done more for my parents when they were actually here on this earth. Mm-hmm. You know, there are times where I think about, I'm like, dang, all they wanted me was to do, all they wanted for me to do was just like something so simple. Right. And I had an attitude.
Right.
You know, so that's the reason why for me,
right,
my opinion has changed in that regard, is because if I can make life easier for a person for even 5 seconds, and I can do that. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's within my grasp, it's within my means. I'm going to do that. Now, I don't think that's me being a people pleaser. If anything, that pleases me more than the other person.
And so, and I hear what you're saying. What I'm saying when it comes to people pleasing, like, not, I'm not talking about your situation. I'm talking about people that are always putting wants and needs over their own and not considering themselves in situations. That becomes detrimental to your own health, because at some point you will break. Like, there's just so much any person can take. And me personally, like, yeah, you can be a people pleaser, but sometimes you need to please yourself first then before others. Like, take care of you before you start to take care of others. You know what I mean? Like, don't always sitting here putting your life on the line, and people are not doing that for you. You know what I'm saying? When are you going to start caring about yourself? So that's what I'm speaking towards when it comes to people pleasing, because I'll see people, I'm just like, deep down, I'm just like, dang, like, I really wish they'll work out that issue. Cause like, yes, I know you like want to be there for people, but it's like, sometimes like you got to worry about yourself too. Like I'm on your body and in your appearance, I can see that this is taking a toll on you. Yeah. So when are you going to start looking out for yourself? You know what I mean? So
I do want to know, like, in your healing journeys, what are some things that you struggled with the most, like, in trying to become, like, I guess, get out of that phase and become, like, better and healed and whole? Like, what are some things that you realized, like, you were struggling with?
I would say for me, I think I blame myself for some people's actions towards me. But what I had to realize was, like, and you know how people are like, you should have spotted that a mile away, that they were going to, you like, act like that or treat you like that. But what I had to realize was that the reason why I didn't spot that a mile away is because I'm not a bad person. So how can I, as a good person, know the intentions of a bad person beforehand? You know? So I think that it's okay to give yourself grace whenever you're not able to, like, be as, like, coy to certain people's, like, actions or thoughts or feelings towards you. And that was probably, like I said, like, that was my biggest struggle. Like, I was just blaming myself for what other people did to me. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or blaming myself for having emotions. I used to get so frustrated. I'm just like, why am I so sad?
Yeah.
And it's just like, bro, you have emotions. You're going to be sad for a while. And the timing of things, I'm just like, dang, I'm ready to stop being sad. Yeah. Like, I was just getting so frustrated. But I think, like, just allowing yourself that time and actually to have emotions, like, it's okay to be sad, it's okay absolutely to cry some days, like, you're gonna be all right.
I agree, and I would kind of say the same thing you said. Like, I think my biggest struggle is, like, getting to a certain place and looking back at the person who you were and thinking, okay, what could I have done to, like, mm-hmm, prevent this, or how can I change, like, my behaviors and things. And sometimes, like, you'll do so much work into trying to change who you are when in actuality, like, you weren't the villain in that situation. Like, you can't change how that situation came out. So you're just like, the next person you meet or the next person you talk to, you're standing on business extra hard. Like you said, somebody asks you a question, you're telling them no because no one's ever going to take advantage of me again. Right. But in actuality, like, now you've changed yourself. It's like you're almost healing into a worse version of yourself.
Yes,
you know, and this person's having, like, a bigger effect on you than they actually should have, when actually that person needs to change, not you, you know? So I've learned that it's like healing, but making sure that I'm also healing for the best version of myself. Right. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
And not, like, trying to heal based off trauma.
Yeah.
Right.
I had a guy that had told me, he was like, dang, he was like, am I going to have to take the brunt for all the bad that guys have done to you in the past? And I was just
my
like,
friend. I hate when guys say that.
I hate when guys say that.
No, it wasn't like, but I don't think it was actually in a bad way.
Mm-hmm. He's trying, like, to slightly check you. Like, you going hard on me.
I don't think he was actually trying to slightly check me. Like, I think that I was kind of like, I was just like,
closed off.
I was being very closed off. I was being very, like, just apprehensive, you know, of his actions and his intentions when he actually had good intentions, you know? But for me, like, the things that I have dealt with in my past, I'm just like, you know? Right. So, yeah, I think that we have to heal.
Right.
We truly, truly have to heal from those things. Yeah. So that way it's not taken out on the people that are coming before, like coming after these.
Because I think
people.
Even questioning somebody's intentions just shows that, like, mm-hmm. even knowing that they have good intentions just shows that, like, you probably not all the way healed from certain things. Because it's like, why do you feel like you don't deserve somebody being nice to you, somebody being good to you, somebody treating you like you should be treated? Why do you feel like you don't deserve that? Why do you feel like he's sitting here trying to come up and, you know what?
But because there are people that have done that. But I think, like what Michelle said, like, you can't change the person that you are, like, to fit the society that we're in. Like, it's okay to still be like a vulnerable, nice, caring person. Like, there's going to be people that see that and they're not going to take advantage of that. And unfortunately, you are going to run into some people that do take advantage of that. And I'm, you know, and I hope that people are able to like bypass that. But there are going to be points where you did get taken advantage of. But it doesn't mean, like, don't let that break you. Don't let that change you.
I will say one thing I struggled in, like, my healing and when I started doing therapy, the wall that I had built up because of a situation that caused me to be so like restricted and not vulnerable anymore, not being able to be open. And if I was open, like I was half open, like I would keep some stuff in. And it's like, no, I used to be an open book. Like, why am I just like a restricted person? And just learning that it's okay to let people in, you know, of course, like pick and choose what you're allowing people to know. But at the same time, like, don't allow someone to allow you to build this armor around you where you don't even let anyone in and it's just you against the world, you know? So that was something I was struggling with, just like letting that wall down, being able to forgive myself and others about things that have happened to me or I went through, and realizing that it wasn't a punishment. That's just some experiences that unfortunately you had to experience in life. And now you know better and you do better and you advise better and move better. So
do y'all feel like, let's say somebody wronged you in a certain situation, or like somebody puts you in the predicament to where you obviously need healing. And like, how do y'all feel? Or not even need healing, where it's like, it just puts you in a space where it's like, this hurt my feelings and it's going to take a while for me to kind of like recoup from this. So it's like, how do y'all feel when y'all don't get like the necessary apology or like the acknowledgement that like somebody did something? Like, I guess not even how do you feel, but like, how do you move forward without getting that? You know what I mean?
Oh, make every other body pay for it. I'm just kidding.
That's a hard one. I think that's actually a hard one for me, because I unfortunately, like, I don't want to say it's a grudge I hold, but I do look at people a little bit different based on things like that. Because the fact that you can't be self-aware to the point that you know that, like, all you have to do is just like acknowledge where I was coming from or acknowledge how I was feeling or just apologize because you actually were dead ass wrong. You know, for me, it's one of those things where it's like, you have to move on from it and you have to like decide what you want to do with that person. Like, if they're going to be your friend, if they're going to be your boyfriend or whatever it might be. But yeah, that's something I'm still working on, because I think that I do definitely have like some, it's side eye to that person, unfortunately.
See, for me, I feel like, and it's going to sound bad, apologies hold very little weight for me. And it has a lot to do with like my apology language or whatever. Like, and I'm sorry means little to nothing for me. Most people, when they apologize, they're apologizing because they think you need an apology. Like, there's no change behavior that comes along with it. There's no accountability that comes along with it. Like, I would rather someone come to me and hold themselves completely accountable for how they wronged me and truly explain where they went left, than come to me and just tell me that they're sorry. Because a lot of times, like, someone say, I'm sorry, you'll be like, for what? And they're sitting here trying to think of what you want them to say. You know what I mean? So for me, like, when someone does, like, that whole quote, learn to be okay with the apology you never got, like, that's literally me. If you do me wrong, I really don't need an apology, because I'm not gonna lie, that's who you are. Your character was shown in that moment. So no apology will change how I felt about you in that moment and what I know that you're capable of. So that's like besides the point. But after that, if you come back and you want to establish a friendship or whatever moving forward, it's really going to have to be accountability. Accountability to me is for way more important than an apology.
And you know, I agree, because honestly, people are going to be people. But one thing about me, like, one of like a pet peeve of mine, I can't accept when people can't take accountability. Because to me, it's just like, how hard is it to just say, like, you did X, Y, and Z, and I'm sorry it made you feel X, Y, and Z? It's not hard. It's extremely easy. But I feel like some people look at accountability as like an attack on your character. And it's like, no, it's just you acknowledging that you fucked up and you're going to try to do better, or we'll do better. But like not taking accountability at all in a situation, it just screams you lack self-awareness. No. And like, I personally, as I'm getting older, I realize like that is something like that's so important to me. Like I like to be around people that are self-aware. And like, to me, it allows you to move correct in this world. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when people lack self-awareness, that's when a lot of mistakes and issues come about. Mm-hmm. And you start dealing with nonsense left and right. Mm-hmm. And so me personally, like Michelle said, that is extremely important to me. Accountability. Understand you have to give grace, right? But at the same time, you have to hold yourself accountable for your actions as well.
So. And to me, the reason why it's so important, because I recently had a falling out with somebody and it was like for a very long time. And when they came back, it's like they had all these stories, but it's like they really couldn't take accountability. And in fact, I was like, mm-hmm. I'm not going to tell you what you did wrong. I need you to actually explain to me. I need you to know. I need to take accountability. Mm-hmm. And their failure to take accountability just let me know, like, if you can't take accountability for this, then the possibility of it happening again is very high because you have no idea how to prevent this because you don't even know how you did. You don't even know where you went wrong. Right. So in that moment, I'm just like, I'll accept the apology because clearly that's what you need for me to do for you to move on. But I'm going to move on and I'm not really going to give this relationship slash friendship much of a fighting chance because no, sir.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think it's also important for, you know, I think also whenever it comes to accountability, sometimes it's hard because I feel like sometimes people want you to be accountable for shit you didn't do. Like,
I mean, that's,
sometimes people are really.
But you feel that way. Why are you apologizing? That's how you know the apology's fake.
No, that's the thing. Like, it's not about you apologizing like to be fake, but it's like, you know, I don't know. It's so hard because sometimes some people will come to me and they'll be like, "Oh, you did X, Y, and Z," and I'm like,
"That wasn't your intention."
I'm like, "Oh, you thought like that?"
Yeah.
But I was like, "You thought like that?" I was like, "Okay, well, you know, I can apologize that you felt like that, but that wasn't my intention."
Okay.
That's the thing. It wasn't my intention, and I can explain what my intent was behind it. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't accept my intent and you still expect me to be like, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I was X, Y, and Z. And I was dead ass wrong. And I did this.
If you don't feel that way, then don't apologize.
And that's what I'm saying. But then people will look at it like, oh, she lacks accountability. But it's like, I lack the accountability that you, like to your standard, not to mine. You know, so I think that that's where like things can get very dicey.
But also there's a big difference between intention and impact. Intention is what you set out to do. Impact is how your actions impacted that person. Now, you may not have intended to hurt that person, but the way that you went about what you were doing impacted that person in a way where it hurt them feelings. You can apologize for your impact without saying that you were like, malicious intent.
Right, I agree.
So someone came to you and says, you know what? When you came in the door, you said, my room was dirty and that hurt my feelings. And you can say, I mean, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings, but your room was dirty. You know what I mean? It's just like, my intention was not to hurt you. That's not an apology. You can say, you know what? I apologize for hurting your feelings. Looking back, maybe I shouldn't have commented on your room. I could see how that, there's a way you can apologize. Basically, be like, that was not my intent. But honestly, I take accountability because I know that you're sensitive about that. And moving forward, I'll try not to comment on that. There's a way that you can apologize, take full accountability for your comments.
Right.
But there's a way you can apologize where it's kind of just like, okay, I'm going to apologize for how you took it, but there's not going to be any change behavior on my part. Because I don't think I did anything wrong. And as you're apologizing that way, in your head, you're thinking, I didn't do anything wrong. This girl's tripping, but I'm going to apologize because I want to move past this. And the person who's receiving that apology, they can feel that.
And I think, and that's another, like, also learning how to communicate too effectively when you're trying to apologize or take accountability, learning how to land respectfully and nicely to the person on the receiving end is receiving it in a positive way and not thinking that, you know what, you're right. What I'm saying, I was right. Like, this, that, and the third, you know, so... It just all boils down to communication.
It's even another layer to it because then you have situations where people want to hold you accountable to your actions and it's like, we're not going to address what you did that made me do said thing.
That part.
Okay, yeah.
The domino effect. It's a domino effect.
Yeah, it's literally a domino effect because I literally had somebody say, oh, you said this is this. And I was like, yeah, but I also said I wouldn't do this if you didn't do that. So it's kind of just like, let's say you talk about me. What did you do to get me here? Like, that's a real thing.
I do believe that sometimes you don't always have to apologize. If you're not sorry, do not apologize.
You don't have to apologize.
You can really stand on business. I'm not going to lie. Because I literally was in a situation just like this where someone did something to me and I'm not going to lie, I reacted. And they were like, they wanted me to apologize for my reaction. I was like, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to apologize for how I reacted.
I'm not sorry for half.
I'm not sorry. Like, But I told you that this is how I reacted to this situation, and you did it, and this is that was my reaction. So you can either deal with it or you can get lost. But I'm not apologizing what for my reactions mm-hmm. to your what actions. Like that's no. manipulation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially like when you said, if I told you this is how I respond in these situations, and you put me in that situation.
Right.
I'm not apologizing. You were forewarned. Like you literally were forewarned.
I think that people
welcome
forget
to your consequences.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly what I was gonna say. I think people forget reactions. There's consequences. Like. There's always a cause and effect. Mm-hmm. Like, what you put into this world, you might not think it doesn't have an effect on it, but it does. Mm-hmm. And it might not be an effect that you can see, but right. it's going to affect something. If you drop a dime on a floor, it's going to affect something in some type of way.
Right.
You know, so I think people just forget that. And I think people get so caught up in their emotions that they want you to be accountable. They want you to acknowledge, like, what you did to them, but they completely forgot what they did to you to even get there, you know, right. or like even like the start of everything. So
I agree.
Yeah. That's so like, so let me ask y'all. Okay. So now like at the point that y'all are at with, I think like being like emotionally like aware, with your, whenever it comes to like, maybe like your friends or your families and like, you're having like a very serious conversation, like something that's like actually like impactful, something that can, like, make them go through either the red door or the green door. Mm-hmm. Are y'all going to be, like, real deal, like, full throttle about the, like, about what you say, like, the advice that you give? Or are you going to sugarcoat things to, like, you know, maybe, like, make them feel a little bit better in the conversation?
About what? We say it again?
Anything. Just, like, anything. Anything that's actually, like, impactful in their life. Like, let's say that one of your friends comes to you and says that
I want to be a stripper.
No, I want to be a stripper. Let's say they come to you and say like, okay, let's say that one of your friends comes to you and says, I'm pregnant and I know who the baby father is, but I want it to be this guy as well. So mm-hmm. like, let's say that she's like messing with two different guys.
Right.
And she's going to play off the baby to be another guy's child. And it's actually not.
I'm never telling somebody to lie. Are you crazy?
But not tell you to lie.
I get it.
But
I'm,
like,
I'm not going to sugarcoat that.
Maybe she's in a situation. Maybe mm-hmm. she's in a situation where like the actual baby father is like abusive uh-huh. and like he's not a good person.
I think I'm going to be extremely honest with you and let you know, hey, I understand you're going through all this, but this is going to have a bigger impact on the child if you keep who the actual father is from him. I think if you want to move forward with this kid, you're going to have to sit both parties down and figure out how y'all going to move forward as a collective. Yeah. But not telling him that that's not his kid, we're not going to do that. And me too, that says a lot about my character if I sit here and advise you to do that.
Because
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to be nice about it. My voice is going to be so solid that you know I'm not fucking with you. Mm-hmm. And if you go through that red door, we probably will never talk again. Because that's a lot of your character.
People get killed behind line about stuff like that. Why would I ever advise you to lie about that? Like,
mm-mm.
That's a huge deceit. Like, that's not a little lie. That's deceit.
That's 18 years, bro, of just like possible foolishness.
That's forever.
Yeah, people do that all the time.
I know that.
That's crazy.
Wicked.
That's messed up, actually.
Yeah. But I also think you need to know your friend. And there are certain friends that people go to for certain type of advice. If you come to me for that type of advice, you know the advice you get. I'm not going to tell you a lie to that man.
Excuse me.
And he could know I'm lying too. And he's abusive.
And so you wanted to beat all of us up and put us in caskets. I cannot.
No. But the situation is not so like deceitful. I think like if a friend comes to me about like a major life decision mm-hmm. or a family friend comes to me, I'm very careful because what I never want to do again is like to try and like overly critique mm-hmm. or mold or try and get you to do something that I would do because we're two different people.
Right.
So I'm just going to try to like just, you know, be open and make sure the decision you're making is your decision. Mm-hmm. And if you're comfortable with that life decision, then it's like, cool.
And also it's good to ask them questions too when they come to you like, oh, okay, so this, that, and the third. So probe them a little bit so you can mm-hmm. see how you can respond, how you can advise and stuff like that. But me personally, when I have serious conversations with like family, friends, I just realize like now as I'm getting older, you have to be very like kind of like serious and stern because I feel like a lot of people like take you as a joke when you're like sugarcoating or trying to ease it on them. No, X, this is what's going on. Can we please talk about it? Going around. No, be direct. This is what's going on. Let's talk about it. Some people like people to go around. No, Don't cut the corners. Go directly to that person. Tell them what is going on. Like, and talk about it. You know what I'm saying?
Direct.
Don't go on.
What are you going to say, Joy?
Girl, I don't know. I was fighting so hard to remember. I can't.
I have to agree with Paulette. I think that whenever it comes to like a situation that's like very, very like life and death,
mm-hmm.
like something that's like a major life decision, I think you have to be like very honest with that person.
Yeah.
Because think about if you sugarcoat something and they make the wrong decision.
Right.
But then you're looking like, wait, but that's not the decision I wanted you to make, but I wanted you to make the decision yourself.
Right.
At the same time, I'm like, right. And no, like you actually should have just like, especially like, okay, like for my little sister, like my youngest sister, she's in college right now. And she might come to me with certain, like asking for certain advice. And I'm very realistic with her only because I've been there. Like, mm-hmm. I have been in college. I have been through, like, a lot of the exact same situations that she's asking me about. So I'm very honest with her. And I'm like, well, you want to be honest with you or you just want to hear something, you know? And depending on, like, where she's feeling, because she is also, like, a very, like, sensitive and emotional person as well. So I have to, like, take that into effect as well. Like, because if I say it so real to the point where she like gets emotional about it, she's not going to hear it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to also take that into account. But I do have to also be serious with her.
Right.
But you said something where you said, it's not the decision that I wanted you to make, which and I know you didn't probably mean it in that way, but I think that that's part of the issue is a lot of times when your friends are coming to you for advice, they're coming to you for guidance, but you can't turn around and give them advice based off what you want them to do. Mm-hmm. It has to be based off what would be work best for them. Cause there's a lot of people who's like, sometimes like it's a little bit of projection. Like you in that moment, maybe whatever decision they're trying to make, you wouldn't thrive in that moment, but maybe they will. Mm-hmm. And I had somebody who recently came to me. Well, it wasn't recently. It was like a year ago. They came to me about something that they really wanted to do. And I was like the last person they talked to. They talked to like four people, I think, before me. Mm-hmm. About something. And when they told me, I was like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't even know the logistics of how to get something like this off the ground. Like, I don't know. But you sound so passionate about this, and it would be a big risk. But I do think that, like, if you are...
It's possible.
If you're this passionate about it, then I do think that, like, it will take a lot of effort, a lot of work, if you have time to make it happen. But I do think you can make it happen for you. And he was like, you know what? And he was like, I'm not going to lie. He said, I appreciate you so much for saying that. He said, I talked to four other people, and they all discouraged me from doing it. Oh, and I was, so shocked.
Because whenever it comes to, like, stuff like that, like business or, like, starting something up, I'm never going to discourage people from that.
I think a lot of it is just like the naivety of it, right? Mm-hmm. So I feel like when you're very naive to a subject, it's very easy for you to be like, oh, do what you want to mm-hmm. do. But when you think you have like mm-hmm. more like knowledge right. of it, then you're more likely to try to like impress your opinions on somebody else.
Right.
But the truth is you truly do not know what is meant for that person right. in that field, you know? Mm-hmm. And to me, being naive to that subject, I really thought like, okay, you know what? I do think I'm looking at the way he's playing. I'm like, it's not like, you know what you're talking about. I do think that you can thrive. It's a risk, but you'll thrive. But I feel like that same applies to other things. Like there's a life decision that where, okay, you may not be able to thrive in a situation, but you truly do not know what God has for this person. You truly do not know what right. decision will do for this person. Like maybe somebody wants to like move to Japan and you're just like, what the hell? Like now you have a job. You have to quit your job. You have to do all this. And mm-hmm. who's going to take your pants? What you going to do about your rent? And all the, like to you, you're just like, I can never make something like that in such a short term. But you don't know that person can. And some people have like moved to Japan and like their life has completely changed. It was mm-hmm. the best thing that ever happened to them.
Right.
So I feel like when giving advice, it has to be based on like actual like life things, not so much on like personal right. like, opinions as far mm-hmm. as like, I don't know if it's what's best for you because you don't truly know what's best for them.
Right.
Just
right.
make sure if this happens or if it doesn't, if it goes left, would you be okay with that? If it goes right, would you be okay with that? If they're like confident and okay with the decision
right.
both ways, and it's like, go ahead.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like I'm able to do a pros and cons list. Like you telling me about the situation, what's the pros? What's the cons? And I'm not going to necessarily tell you what to do, but maybe I'm asking the question you haven't asked yourself. And when right. you are thinking of your own decision in your head, maybe me sparking that conversation will help mm-hmm. you lead you where you need to be. Right. But I don't like to give concrete, do this or that. I'm going to make you think about some shit, but I'm not going to give you the exact advice that... Yeah. that you might be looking for. I'm sorry, I'm never going to tell somebody to do something because I feel like I followed somebody else's advice and I'll never forgive them for that. So I don't ever want to be that person to somebody else where like, oh, I listened to so-and-so and I regret that decision. So I'll never flatly be like, this is what you need to do.
That might be that meme where it's like me telling my friends to do and sprinkling that hoe, but do what you want to do at the end. Oh, it's like, I do not want to be responsible.
right.
That's or just decision in case it goes left. Right. But sometimes you tell somebody to do something and just like, oh my God, it's not working out. It's not working out. Oh, it's not working out. I really hope this. She asked two other people too.
Right.
oh.
But that sprinkle, right. do what you
all right,
do.
Y'all. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. I think that this was... It was very deep, but it was still like lighthearted. So I really appreciate that. And I hope that y'all do as well whenever you're listening to it. Make sure you follow us on all social media platforms, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Make sure you comment, subscribe. You know, make sure you get interactive with us. And of course, if you have any petty chronicles or motos that you want us to talk about on our episodes, email them, DM us, whatever it might be. Just get them to us. It's your girl, Just Nick, checking out. Bye, y'all.
It's your girl, Amakalette, signing out. Follow me on IG and TikTok at Amakalette. Holla.
Bye, y'all. It's your girl, Crystal, a.k.a. Champagne Chris. Peace.
Bye, guys. It's your girl, Joy Alia.
Bye, y'all. It's your girl, Shell. See y'all next time.
Bye.
Give me a P. Give me an E.